We're looking at a very, very important perek. This is the yesodos of all of Sefer, all of the Inyanim of Zerayim. This is perek Aleph Mehilchos Trumas. And the Rambam lays down so many fundamental principles. He lays down the idea that what makes something chayav in Trumas and Maestras is not that it's the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, but rather any land that is conquered by a melech for the benefit of Am Yisrael has kedushas ha'oretz. Now, not in a completely ruchnius way, meaning the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to be mekayim if Eretz Yisrael conquered Saudi Arabia. But it means, in terms of Trumas and Maestras, the chiyuv is based on this conquest. And the problem with Soria, which is called Kibush Yochid, the Rambam says, is because David HaMelech conquered it before he conquered everything within the boundaries. But that he conquered all the boundaries first, Soria would be chayav min ha-Torah in Trumas and Maestras. So that's one important area. And in fact, the Rambam is so interesting. He says, what is Eretz Yisrael? I mean, he even says, what is Eretz Yisrael? It's not like he says, for Trumas and Maestras is totally on Kibush. He says, what is Eretz Yisrael? Like, look how literal it is. The land of the Jews. What is the land of Israel? The land that a melech conquered for the Jewish people. So according to the Rambam, provided that you first conquer what's in the boundaries, there is no nafka meaning between what is in the boundaries and what is outside of the boundaries, as long as the melech didn't conquer that until after the boundaries were conquered. Okay, so Soria, therefore, falls under the category of Kibush Yochid. That's principle number one the Rambam makes. Principle number two the Rambam makes is the Rambam makes a chiluk between Kedusha Rishona and Kedusha Shania. Kedusha Rishona is the sanctification that occurred with Yehoshua ben Nun's kibush, or David HaMelech's kibush, and that sanctified the land for Trumas and Maestras, but that Kedusha became Nisbatel when there was a Churban. When we lost sovereignty, that would be the Babylonian, it depends. The Aseres HaShvatim were exiled earlier, so from their parts of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha would have lapsed when Sancheirav exiled them, and from Yerushalayim and this part of Eretz Yisrael, it would be about the Chorban of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, that's called Kedusha Rishayna Kitchel L'Shata, the Lo Kitchel Yosid Lavan, which means for the 70 years, and for the 10 tribes longer, between the two Batei Mikdash, there was no chiyuv in Trumas and Maestras. If you would happen to be in Eretz Yisrael, and you would have a little field, you would not have to take off Trumas and Maestras, because the Kedusha Saris is Batel. But Bimei Ezra, there was something called a Kedusha Shnia, and the Shetach that Ezra was Makadesh is a smaller Shetach than was Nichlal in Kedusha Rishayna, and that's called Kedusha Shnia. And the Kedusha Shnia, again, this is all telling him, big, big sugyas, but we'll go to the Rambam. The Rambam's daya is Makubal Lahalacha here. That we paskin, there's this Kedusha Shnia. Kedusha Shnia is Kitche L'Shata, the Kitche L'Yosid Lavai. So even after the Churban, the places that were Nichlal in the Kibush Ezra are still chayav in Trumas and Maestras because they still have Kedushas Ha'oretz. That's a smaller Shetach, basically that runs, a lot of the modern boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are in fact outside of the Kedushas Ezra. The Gemara in Gittin says consistently, a few places besides not only in Gittin, that Kiziv is the northern boundary of the Kibush, of the Kedusha of Ezra. I'll discuss what the Kedusha of Ezra is in a moment. And Kiziv is near Aku. So if you know Aku's on the coast, go north, around Haifa, approximately, around Haifa. So the part of the land that's north of Haifa does not have, it only has Kedusha Rishon, it doesn't have Kedusha Shnia. That's a tricky question a little bit. And the southern boundary is around Ashkelon. So most of the Negev, see Be'er Sheva, Ashkelon, right around there, most of the Negev, and certainly Eilat, does not have Kedusha Well, they lat, some say, didn't even have Kedusha Rishayna. That may not even be within the boundaries. But I'm talking about even that which is within the boundaries. If it was not settled Bimei Ezra, it would only have the status of Kedusha Rishayna. Now, Kedusha Rishayna, it's mashma from the Rambam, is not even Chayav Drabanan. Now, the problem that we have to explain is this. And again, this is a bit of a chazar, but it's kedai to go over it again. If the Rambam defines Kedusha as a consequence of kibush, that's what he says, then how could there be a new Kedusha Bimei Ezra? Ezra did not conquer any land at all. In fact, the Yidden came back to Eretz Israel with the Rishayin of Koresh. Koresh gave them permission to come back. And all we had was Hisyashrus. We had settlements in different areas. There was no kibush. So if on the one hand the Rambam says the Kedusha Saris depends on kibush, how could there be a Kedusha Shniyah at all? So the Mefarshim explained, Rav Chaim is Masbir, that initial Kedusha always has to come through kibush. But when there was a Kedusha, but it became Nisbatel, it can be revived by settlement. In other words, the Kedusha of Ezra would not have been enough to be Makadosh any part of Eretz Yisrael that had not already been Makadosh. Which means, in other words, what you see from here is that when we say the Kedusha Rishayna is Bata, we don't really mean it became zero. Because if it became zero, then Ezra would be a new Kedusha. As a new Kedusha, it's not Yitachin. But the Pshat is, it becomes dormant, meaning it's no longer an active force to be Mechayev, but it's there so that when you have this Yashuas, it comes back again. Now, the problem is this. The problem is, it's a little difficult. In other words, so we have, this is a very important chilek the Rambam made, Kedusha Rishayna and Kedusha Shniyah. Big, big Yisayt. The problem is, it's a little hard to see what this means historically, because the problem was the Yashvus of Yidden in Eretz Israel did not only occur Bimei Ezra, but there were a number of other periods. For example, during Malchus Chashmonai, much of territory was conquered. The Negev, all this territory was conquered. Would that be called a Kedusha Shniyah? I mean, number one, it was conquered, but it was also settled, right? Number two, what about the modern state of Israel? Meaning to say, I could say, well, on one hand, north of Ksiv was not settled by Ezra. Okay, but north of Ksiv is settled by Jews today. Meaning, what Tanayim do you need, what conditions do you need to make a Kedusha Shniyah? For that matter, what conditions do you need to make a Kedusha Rishayna? The Rambam defined it as Melech Yisrael, who's Kovesh, for Am Yisrael. Does the Rambam mean Melech Yisrael? Well, what if you don't have a Melech Yisrael? What if you have the Israeli army? So it's not so puffy. So when I made the point that parts of the Negev and north of Kiziv are not Nichlal and Kedusha Sezra, that's not so borrowed. But that's why we take off Trumas and Maestras from all of these places, because even if it's not Nichlal and Kedusha Ezra, but number one, Malchus Beis Chashmonai spread to those areas, and possibly even the modern settlements of Israel may qualify. Meaning, we don't have clear definitions of is there a type of tekes, is there a type of ceremony that you need for kibush, or is it the Metzias of Kibush and his Yashvus that does it? And especially, Bizman Azel, you're going to have a problem. What does the Rambam mean? I mean, is the Sinai Chayiv and Trumas and Maizos? I mean, we conquered it. Right? So, at least for those years, until it was given back, would it be Chayiv and Trumas and Maizos? So, even the others were Machir in a lot of this. But on the other hand, you have to know, it's very complicated. Because one of the Yesedis of Trumas and Maizos is, you cannot separate something that is putter to cover something that's chayiv. So let's say I have produce from the Sinai. Maybe it's chayiv, maybe it's not. But I can't separate it for produce in Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim produce is vaday chayiv, and the Sinai might be putter. So it might be min haptur al achiyav. So what you have to do is you have to separate minei ubei. You have to separate l'chumra from the Sinai produce itself. And then the manashef, you're okay, because if I'm chayav, it's a valid truma and miser. If I'm not chayav, I'm just giving away, I'm just throwing away, you know, 1% of my stuff. Right? So you have to know that that would actually mean that in trumas and miseris in different areas, you can't always combine the mashkichim, the hashkachos, do not always combine the produce. They have to segregate the separate areas and separate, because otherwise there is potentially a problem of min haptur al hachiyah. Right? You understand the problem min haptur al hachiyah. Because if you separate ptur al chiyah, the chiyah remains tether. That's the problem. Right? If I have something putter and something chayav, and I make the putter truma, the thing that's chayav, the chayav remains tether. So that's what the Araisa says to me. Okay. So that's a second important principle. The first important principle is the notion that the Kedusha Sa'aretz for Trumas and Maishas does not depend on the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, but it depends on the Kibush of a Melech Yisrael. And the only condition is that any Kibush outside of the boundaries has to be done after the boundaries, and Surya was done before. The second Yisayin is the Chiluk between Kedusha Rishayna and Kedusha Shniya. And that has a lot of ambiguities in terms of trying to resolve how do you look at Malchus based Hashminoi and how do you look at modern settlement of Israel. Yeah, sorry, you want to say somebody want to say something? Yeah.
So would it also be a potential issue in terms of making a bracha with some of the produce if you're not in an area that's definitely contained?
Yeah, you're correct. There'll also be a suffix bracha. That's correct. You're right. I mean, now most of the time, for example, on a consumer level, unless you have a garden, it's very rare you'll ever make a bracha. For example, if I would buy rabanut fruits and vegetables, plain, I would certainly not make a bracha on trumas and maestras because, you know, number one, it's at least a 50-50 subject that took up, but probably more than that. It's not 50-50. It's probably 80% that they did it. So we're mafresh l'chumra, misafet. But you know, you wouldn't make a bracha on separating trumas and maestras. Yeah.
Just to clarify, so could also see it doesn't work to redesignate part of the Eretz Yisrael as part of Eretz Yisrael. It only works to reanimate the dormancy of.
Yes, that's what you have to say. Meaning to say, settlements without conquest cannot confer initial kedusha. It can reactivate the dormancy of a kibush that has lapsed. L'chari, that's mukrish, because, in fact, that explains, to remind you, that explains the famous kasha that Rav Chaim asks about kibush yachid. We have a machlekes in the Gemara, is Surya kadesh or not kadesh? Because it was conquered, kibush yachid, which let's go with Taisus and the Rambam, it was conquered before David HaMelech conquered the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So if you hold Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush, it's Chayav the Arisa. If you hold Lav Shmei Kibush, it's not Chayav the Arisa. And the Rambam Paskins, Lav Shmei Kibush. So Frek Rav Chayim, what's the Nafkamina here? Whether David HaMelech conquered it or not, it's only a Kedusha Rishayna that got terminated by the Churban. So Mimanavshach, if Ezra settled it, then even if Kibush Yachid Lav Shmei Kibush, let it be Kadosh B'Kedushas Ezra. And if Ezra didn't settle it, even though I hold Shemay Kibush, it wouldn't be Chayav, because it wasn't settled by Ezra. So you see Rav Chaim's Gevaldike Teretz. No. Ezra can only reactivate that which was initially Niskadesh. So consequently, we have to declare was Surya initially Niskadesh. Because if Surya was not initially Niskadesh, Ezra's Hisyashvus wouldn't be right. And that is why there's a relevance to whether Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush or not. That's Rav Chaim's Raya, that Hisyashvus doesn't create a new Kedusha, it can only bring out that which was already dormant. And the Machlokus of Kibush Yachid was there a dormant Kedusha there, or did it not have Kedusha? Okay, all right. Now, the final Chiddush in the Rambam is that the Rambam then, and it's very amazing why he saves this at the very end, because you'd think it almost you should say at the beginning of the verse. By the way, all trumas and maestras today are drabana, even in the place that was Miskadesh B'Kedusha Shniyah, And that is because the Rambam pulls out a new requirement that Trumas and Maestros are made Torah only if most of the Yidden are living in Eretz Yisrael. And since we didn't have that, according to the Rambam, even when there was a Mikdash Sheni, we were not Chayav because most of the Yidden were in the Golus. And even the Mikdash Rishon from the Zaman of the Golus of the Aseres Hashvatim. So again, people sometimes mix it up and they think that you need a base on Mikdash. The Rambam makes it clear. What makes Trumas and Maestros Rabbanan is not the absence of a Mikdash. The Mikdash is not Nogea to that. What makes Trumas and Maestros Rabbanan is we don't have Rov Yeshiveha in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a little complicated. The halacha that Kedushas Ezra is not Nisbatel, that is a Doraisa Dika halacha. That is a Doraisa. The Oraisa, there is a Kedushas Haaretz, but there's another Tanai. In other words, again, it's not a Tanai in Kedushas Haaretz, it's a Tanai in the Chiyav of Mitzvah Tluyas Baaretz. In other words, the Chiyav of Mitzvah Tluyas Baaretz, according to the Rambam, has two Mechayvim. One is the Etzem Kedushas Haaretz, and the other is a halacha called Bias Kulchin. So, as Kedushas Haaretz, we have that Minatayra, Kedushas Ezra is not Bata. But, Zakta Ramban, Trumas and Maestros have a din of Bias Kulchem. Now, the reason why this is important is the Rambam doesn't mean Bias Kulchem is a Chisarin in Kedushas Haaretz. He just means it's a Chisarin of a separate Tanai in Trumas and Maestros. The reason why this is important is that for some mitzvahs that don't require Bias Kulchem, like Kalayim would be Minatayra in the places that teach you Ezra. It's only by Trumas and Maestros. Now, the Ravid is Chaylet. The Ravid is Chaylet on this Nekuda, because the Ravid points out that the Pasuk, Ki Savayu El Ha'aretz, that requires that all of you be in the land, that is a Pasuk that appears by Chala, not by Truma. And therefore, Bias Kulchem is only a requirement for Chala. It is not a requirement for Truma. But the Rambam learns that since Chala, this is the Rambam's Chiddush, since Chala is called Truma in the Torah, it is called Truma, it has all the halachas of Truma, and then the Rambam says, Yireli, which he doesn't do that often, he does it around 100 times in the whole Mishneh Torah, with the Rambam, because normally the Rambam is very, very meticulous that he only gives you the halachos that are in, well, not just the Gemara, but in the Bavli, Yerushalmi, or Tosefta. But the Rambam does not give you a halacha that is not the Feirish. But every once in a while, the Rambam will say Yerali, and here he gives a Yerali that Hu Adin Meiser, because that's a double extension. Because Bias Kulchem is by Chala. The Rambam says, since Chala is called Truma, it applies to Truma, and then the Rambam says, Truma and Meister have the same halacha. The Ravid is highlight both on Truma and on Meister. So, this is important. So when you see in the Gemara an expression, Truma bizman hazeh d'rabbanan, the Gemara in Ksuvis often says, Truma bizman hazeh d'rabbanan. What does that phrase mean? Why would Truma bizman hazeh be d'rabbanan? And what does Bizman Hazeh mean? Right? Bidiyuk. What is the translation of Bizman Hazeh? According to the Rambam, it means Bizman Hazeh, at any point you don't have most of the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. So Bizman Hazeh goes all the way back to the Golos of the Aseres Hashvatim. According to the Ravid, Bizman Hazeh reflects the Mandiyamar that even Kedusha Shniyah was buckled by the Korban, which we don't pass him like. In other words, the Ravid says that the one that says, now there's the Ravid says there's no such halacha as Bias Kulchem except for Chala. And the one that says Bizman Hazeh holds that even Kedusha Shniyah is buckled. And since we don't pass him that Kedusha Shniyah is buckled, we don't pass him Bizman Hazeh. But be as it may, therefore, in the sentence, according to the Ravid, Bizman Hazeh, that would mean from the time of the Chorban. Okay? According to the Rambam, Bizman Hazeh means from the time of the Golos Aseret Shvatim, and we paskin like that. According to the Ravid, the statement means from the Chorban Bayis Sheni, and we don't paskin like that. So there are two nekudas. Number one, what is Gizman Hazeh? And number two, do we paskin like it, or do we not paskin like it? Now, I'll leave it the MS. There are many, many reasons where even if you go like the Ravid, most Trumas and Maestros Gizman Hazeh is Drabbanim. Even if you don't go with the Rambam Shita, number one, according to most Rishayim, and the Ravid himself says this, the Dairaisa of Truma is only on Dogon Tirosh V'Yitzer, only on grain, olive oil, and wine. Or Tirosh is wine, and Yitzer is olive oil. So on fruits and vegetables, and even on grapes and olives, which have not yet been made into wine or olive oil, there is no chiyuv the Dairaisa of Trumos and Maestros. That's one thing. Of course, that raises an interesting problem. If you separate truma from olives that you then press into olive oil, I mean, how could the drabana help you when it becomes high of the arisa? So many say like this. This is an interesting idea. That even if a chiyuv is drabana, but the chalei shem of truma might be a arisa, meaning to say, good, I'm not mechuyev to be makrish, but if I'm makrish, it becomes truma de arisa. So when the olives become olive oil, it's not tevel. It wasn't created as tevel at that point. Okay, so that's one issue. The second issue is, according to many Rishonim, any produce that is processed with the intention of selling it is patur from trumas and maestros. That the chiyuv of trumas and maestros is only when you process even Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzar with the kavana of eating it. But when you process it with the kavana of selling it, so many say that Doraisa is Patra too, right? So in a practical matter, there'll be a lot of different cheshbainas that Trumas and Maestros are often Chiyat Rabbanan, either Peres, Yirachas, Lakuach, then of course the Rambam Shita is everything, the Gamri is Rabbanan. Now, is that going to change? Because, you know, demographers tell us that we actually are approaching the 51% mark. It would be a great thing that a majority of Jews might be living in Eretz Yisrael. Is that going to change it? Is that going to be called the B.S. Kofar? It's not only Nogea Trumas and Maestros, it might be Nogea Yevo. Right? We keep Shemitah, Midrabanan. What about Yevo? Yevo we don't keep at all because we don't have Rov Yoshet. No, it's a different pasuk. Again, it's the same idea, bias kulchem, but by chala it says ki savayu el haaretz, bias kulchem. By yovel it says uprasem deror mechol yoshvecha. It is a different drasha. It's not the same drasha. Rav Chaim tries to be mechala between the two, but the basic idea is the same. The question would be, according to the Rambam's daya, would Trumas and Maestros become the Araisa once you hit the 51% or 50 plus 1 level? And would Yevil come in? That's going to be real complicated. Yevil, some guy's going to claim the Tel Aviv beach strip with all the hotels. How does that even work exactly? If I could show that I am the Yeresh of Yenna property, now imagine that doesn't mean I get the hotel. I mean, I get the land, but I have to pay for the hotel. So they're going to have to work something out one way or the other. It's like the Indians. Now, I remember when I was a kid hearing that the American Indians sold Manhattan Island for $24 worth of beads. They just sold the whole island to the pilgrims. So like 300 years later, a group of Indians came back and said, Mekachtais, you know, we were deceived, we didn't know the potential. So they wanted to claim all of Manhattan, which again, it's worth quite a lot of money, Manhattan. Okay, so the emes is, some say, there isn't a lot of tshuvas on it, but some place can say that this is not going to change the halachas, because the meaning of most of the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael is not a numerical division, a numerical calculation, but it also means that the land is divided according to the Shvatim, and people are in their assigned chalakim. So just because you bring a bunch of people here and nobody knows if they're Reuven or Shimon or whatever it is, that doesn't count as Rav Yeshva. Rav Yeshva means everyone is Yeshev in their Nachala and in their Chelet. And that's not going to happen really till Mashiach, realistically speaking. So at that point, we don't have to be chayshish for this. The other answer is that we keep on finding groups of Yidden. You know, we say majority of Jews. Well, you know, we find, Baruch Hashem, we find groups of Jews. There's a fellow, Rav Abichayo, who one of the things he does is he goes around all over the world identifying lost Jewish groups. So he finds 30 Peruvians here, you know, because they start to truck them in all over the place. So the Israeli government was very, very supportive. You know, he's bringing 50 people from here, and 30 people from here, and 20 people from here. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But he then, he felt, now again, I'm not saying that he's right, but he then felt that there were 32 million Afghanistan, Pashtun tribe, that were all Jewish, halachically. So he wanted to bring 32 million of them to Eretz Yisrael. That the Israeli government kind of pulled out at that point. But it is very, very interesting, because this Pashtun tribe, number one, the word Pashtun, Pshatulos, it sounds like a Hebrew word, they're Muslim. They've been so nishtakeya, even if they were Jewish, you know, who knows. But they have some Jewish minhagim that are very bizarre that Muslims don't have. They fast on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not a day for Muslims. They do circumcision on the eighth day. Now, Muslims do circumcision, Bnei Yishmael, but they do it either at the age of 13. Now they modernize. Now they do it around 4 or 5. They don't wait till 13, but they don't do it in 8 days. But this is the one group of Muslims that does Mila on the eighth day. And they have names that, again, sound a little bit like Hebrew. Rabbani, Samani, Levani. Again, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, you know. So there's a little bit of a red line in the dove, or on the other hand, it's similar to the Ethiopians, when people have been separated from Klal Yisrael for hundreds and hundreds of years. Certainly there's intermarriage or other things, you know, so you can't neman their b'cheskas yidden at this point, just like the Rabbanit Paschal, the Ethiopian Jews had to undergo they changed their mind all the time on it, but the original pshat was they had to undergo a gerus, the chumrah, to establish their circumstance. So the kitzur, therefore, there are two terutzim why, even if you get 51% of the designated Jews into Eretz Yisrael, that would not automatically create a chiyuv of trumas and maitris. Number one, who says you got your 51%? And number two, even if you have your 51%, since they don't have their miyuchadika chalakim in the land, so that's not called bias. That's not called biyatika. That's not called a BS proof, right? So we'll see. And Mitzvah Mashiach will come before we have the 51% level anyway. Okay. Now, yeah, take care. So now the next thing the Rambam goes on is, and here the Rambam spends most of the parak talking about this, is the impact of a non-Jew acquiring land in Eretz Yisrael. That is, if a guy owns land in Eretz Yisrael, now for Shteitzach, the guy himself, this is obvious, the guy himself has no chiyuv of trumas and maaseres. Nobody's saying that. And the guy has no isher teva. I can eat, no, whether I can is another question, but the guy himself can eat peiros. In fact, the guy can eat my peiros that were not set. I'm not allowed to give it to him, but the guy himself has no isher. Tevel is not one of the sheva mitzvos b'nei noyach. But the primary question here is the goy's ownership mafkia kedusha from the land, so that when I buy either the land or I buy the fruit, I am putter from trumos and maizras. So here, this is a sugya, this is a whole sugya in Perek HaSheleach, the fourth Perek of Gittin, whether it's yesh kinyan liakum mafkia midei trumos and maizras, lafkia kedusha sa'aretz. Now this is a little difficult. Which man di omar the Rambam paskins like is a little hard to figure out, because we know the halachas that he paskins like, but in which man di omar is he reading those halachas is not so borrowed. So since we're not learning the Gemara itself, it's less important for our purposes that we figure out which man di omar he's going like. That is a little complicated. and simply focus on the halachas that he tells us that are nogeyer. So the Rambam here, it's hard to read because it's very detailed, but if you spend a little time on it, you can see that there's a very nice order that he gives you, because he starts with a bunch of cases. Case one, a guy owns land, and I simply buy the land, but I plant the crop, meaning we're not talking about the crop that grew in the guy's rishus, we're just talking about I bought the land. Is the land so mufka from Kedusha that it's as if I'm buying chutz la'aretz and I'm not chayav? So here, the Rambam, this is the one thing where the Rambam is crystal clear. The ownership of the guy of land in Eretz Yisrael is not mafkia the etzem kedusha sa'aretz. And consequently, when I buy that land and I plant a crop, the crop is 100% chayav in Trumos, Maisreis, and Bikurim. So principle number one is the ownership of the guy is not mafkia the Kedusha Sa'aretz itself. Okay. But now we come to a second problem. Okay. But let's say I don't buy an empty field from a guy. I buy a field where there's already peros, tavua, that's growing. So the tavua grew on the field when it belonged to a guy. Am I chayav in Trumas and Maisris on that produce, right? So that is case number two. One second, let me find it here. So case number two is the Rambam is mechalek between Gemar Malacha and not Gemar Malacha. Now, here, this is a very, very important musak in Trumas and Maisras, although it's actually hard to know what that is exactly. Something does not become Tevel D'Araisa. Of course, everything's Rabban anyway, but to become Tevel, it has to, number one, be harvested. There's no issue of Tevel B'Talush. But even after it's Talush, it is not Tevel D'Araisa until there is something that is called Gemar Malacha. It is Gemar Malacha that makes something Tevel. What is Gemar Malacha? So we typically translate that as the completion of processing. That means you've done the processes that are necessary before you either sell something or you bring something into your house to eat. So at a minimum, this would include it has to be threshed, well, harvested, threshed, winnowed, cleaned, and then the final step was said to be meruach. Meruach is you have a pile of grain that's smoothed down. That is called gemar malacha. Once there's gemar malacha, it now becomes teva. Now, what that means is, until gemar malacha, it is not teva min haTorah. That actually means you're allowed to eat it. But the Rabbanan prohibited what's called achilas keva. You can't make a meal out of something even before Gemar Malacha. But once there's Gemar Malacha, it is now usher even in achilas aroi. Okay. So the Rambam says, a guy's ownership of land is not mafkiyeh from Kedusha Saaretz. But if a guy was gomer malacha, the grain is not chayav in Trumas and Maisras. So therefore, the Rambam's rule is the following. If I buy land from the guy, either with peiros or without peiros, those peiros are chayav in Trumas and Maisras. If I buy peiros from the guy before Gemar Malacha, and I do Gemar Malacha, I am chayav in Trumas and Maisras. The only thing that would pater me from Trumas and Maisras is if the guy's ownership went so far that the guy even did Meruach and Gemar Malacha. So, now, let me explain what this means. Let's say, forget about Shemitah, we'll apply this to Shemitah a little later. Let's say I go to the Arab Shuk. People used to do this in the olden days, they don't do it so much now. Right? I want to buy apples in the Arab Shuk. Now, they certainly didn't take off Trumas and Maisras. Am I mechuyev to take off Trumas and Maisras if those apples grew in land that Arabs own in Eretz Yisrael, the West Bank, Gaza, whatever it is? So, the fact that it grew on Arab land is not going to be matkiyat from the mitzvahs. But in the case of apples, as for grain, gemar malacha is meruach. For apples, really, the only gemar malacha for apples is harvesting and putting it in a basket. So essentially, by the time an apple is brought to a market, there has been gemar malacha by definition. So the reason why I'm not mechuyev to take off trumas and nitrous from peiros that I buy from an Arab is because it was nigmar malachte biyad oved keichav. Now, I'm not saying you should rely on this necessarily, because sometimes what Arabs do is Arabs buy it from Jewish farmers and then resell it. If that happens, you have a gemar malacha biyad Yisrael. But in theory, if it was nigmar malachte biyad apel, in other words, it is not the ownership of the guy that's mafkia the kedusha. Not only the ownership of the land is not mafkia, but even the ownership of the payrus is not mafkia. It is only the meiruach, the gemar malacha of the guy. Now, here's the question, and this is a big machlokas. Well, is it the fact that the guy did the maisa meiruach, or is it the fact that the guy still owned the payrus at the time of meiruach? In other words, is this referring to the degree of ownership that he has, or is it referring to who did the maisa? For example, let's say the guy owned the payros that were harvested, and he employed a Jew to do the physical maisa of meiruach. Is it called meiruach akum because the guy still owned it at a time when it would become tevel? Is that the connection? Or is the kenech that the guy physically did the meiruach? Another nafkamina would be, let's say I own it, let's say it's my field. The opposite question, it's my field. And I employ an Arab who did gemar malacha. See, there are two ways of understanding this. The Rambam learns meiruach akum poter, right? That's the sentence. The meiruach of a guy, which is gemar malacha. Meiruach just means smoothing, but the gemar malacha will be different for every species. For fruit, as I say, all it is filling a basket, and you fill a basket of fruit. That's called gemar malacha. So it's almost automatic. Right? I could nibble at the fruit until it's in the baskets. So the Rambam's yesod is meiruach akum poter. But does that mean, there's one way of learning it is, if the guy was still a bailim over the payrus when the gemar malacha creates the chiyuv, his ownership prevents the chalais shein teva, in which case we really don't care who physically did the meiruach, we just care that the guy owned it. And le'idach gisa, if a Jew owned it, the fact that a guy did the meiruach is lo maila v'lo mairi. Or is this a separate gezeiras hakasuv? Meiruach akum peiter. Nothing to do with kinyan liakum. So the evidence is that if you read the Rambam Vayter, you see klar that the Rambam learns the second set. The Rambam learns this is a new independent principle. These are the ownership of a guy. The guy is never matkia kedusha. There's a gezeiras hakasuv, meiruach akum peiter, and therefore, halacha the Rambam, even if it belongs to me, if a guy did the gemar malacha, there is no chiyuv. Now we'll see. There will be some derabbanans here, but on a deraisa level. Again, when I say deraisa, it's a little misleading because nothing is deraisa, but deraisa vis-a-vis this halacha of meiruach akum. Now, other Rishonim are chaylik. In other words, there are Rishonim that even if they go with the Rambam, that only meiruach akum paters. In other words, they go with the Rambam, that the guy's ownership doesn't pater. It's only meiruach akum paters. They learn meiruach akum just means the guy owns it at the time of meiruach. Now, the emphasis says, logically, that's more of a hemshech, because you're discussing when does a guy's ownership mafkia. So we say, until meiruach, it's not mafkia. But according to the Rambam's Havana of Meiruach Akum, it has nothing to do with the ownership of a guy being Matki. It's a separate technicality in the laws of Trumas and Maestras. that meruach akum patris. That is the Rambam. That is the Rambam shita. Meruach akum patris. What is the marker of this? The marker of this is the following. The Torah says by truma, reishis degancha, the first of your grain. But we read degancha as if it said diguncha. Now digun is the process of making a cream, making a pile of grain. So diguncha, your digun, is chayav than trumas and masras. Below digun, oved tochanu, not the meruach of akum. And then you have a big, important machlokes rishonim. What do we mean by the principle of digun akum? The Rambam takes it very physically and very literally. If the guy did the physical maisa, even if the yid owned it, punter. If a yid did the physical maisa, even if a guy owned it, chayim. Okay, that's an important to say. Although I do want to say one thing, maybe we'll end here. The Kesev Mishnah has an important chiddush here, which is going to be nogeya this situation. The Kesev Mishnah says that the rule that the ownership of a goy is not mafkia, is only nageya when a Jew then buys the produce. But kol zman it actually belongs to the goy, it is mufka from kedusha. So that would mean, according to that argument, if a yid did the meruach and it belonged to the goy, it's not yet chayiv, even though the Rambam says it's chayiv in terms of magic, that's only when the yid buys it. Until the yid buys it, it wouldn't be tevel. Now, I'm not sure myself what that means, because would that mean that the Jewish worker could eat it? I mean, maybe not, because as soon as he eats the apple, he's kind of that apple. In other words, he bought it. In other words, I'm not sure I can come up with a scenario where a yid is eating tevel of a goy that he hasn't acquired. It seems the very process of eating would indicate that he acquired at least that apple. But at least the Kesev Mishnah says, until the yid is kaina, there is no chiyuv of trumas and meishes. Okay, so these are the yesodos that the Rambam gives us. That the Rambam holds that whether you buy the land back or whether you buy the peiros, either betolosh or b'mechuber, makes no difference. You are going to be chayav if you did gemar malacha. And you're not going to be chayev if the guy did gemar malacha. And the Rambam learns, even if the guy did gemar malacha on the payers that Israel bought. Okay? So that's the Rambam's kinej. Most understand, therefore, that the Rambam is actually interpreting the shita that says, ein kinyan liakum lavkia, like that man di amar. And even like that man di amar, there's a halacha called meruach akum paikim. Okay? Okay, we'll stop here and then we'll go back. Because we're going to see, though, that there are going to be different rabbanans here, that the Chachamim didn't want Jewish owners to hire goyim to do meruach to patur. So we're going to see that there's an afgamina between a goy who does meruach when it's his and a goy who does meruach when it's mine, that even though mitzad the doraisa, both cases are patur, but midrabbanan, when a goy does meruach on mine, there's a chiyuv drabbanan to give. That will be an opinion there, because we don't want Yidden to shirk their obligations by getting Goyim to do their work for them. Okay? Good week.